as our first guest will gladly attest to, one of me is bad enough. Ain't nobody wants to. Matt Wyatt, former Prattville Lion, Mississippi State Bulldog.
Thank you for getting Prattville in there.
That Prattville Lion, the pride of Prattville, Alabama. Of course, now co-host on Head to Head Radio statewide throughout the Magnolia State with good friend Richard Cross. Thanks for dropping by.
It's my pleasure. Can I start with a shop question for you, though? How long do we have?
We got whatever time you need.
Well,
here till 1 o'clock.
Well, I want to tell two stories.
Okay.
The first one is when I see you. One of the first times, every time I see you, this is one of the things I think about. A few years ago, and I don't remember exactly what season it was, but I want to say it was in the neighborhood of maybe 2007. I think it was 2008, actually.
Okay.
Fall Saturday, Mississippi State at Alabama in Tuscaloosa.
Yep.
Television production, yourself and
David Crane,
David
or was it Tyler Watts?
I think it was David Crane, okay. You and David. And, you know, Anthony, the producer.
Anthony Early.
It was know very well. That Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m., the game kicked off at 6:30, I think.
Right.
I was in my backyard in shorts mowing grass, and the phone rang, and it was Anthony. And Anthony Early said, "Hey, Matt, this is Anthony. I understand you're going to be doing color with Chris and David for our game tonight." I said, "I haven't gotten an email or a phone call or anything." He goes, "Well, where are you?" I said,
"Wait,
I'm in
6:30 that morning."
No, this was at 1 p.m. and the game kicked off at 6:30
okay.
p.m.
Gotcha.
And I'm mowing grass. And he said, "Well, where?" I said, "I'm in Tupelo, Mississippi." He said, "Well, that's only a couple hours away, isn't it?"
Only.
And I went,
"Only a couple hours?"
"Yeah, it is." He said, "Can you get changed and hit?" I'll be there. I ran in the house and told my wife, like a tornado through the house, "I'm going to Tuscaloosa to do the game." She said, "What?" And so she's helping me get my clothes. I put on my suit. I jump in the car, drove to Tuscaloosa, and met you guys, and we called that game up there.
You know, you may have told me that day, but I've totally forgotten that part of it.
And the other part of that,
working together, but I'd forgotten the whirlwind that got you to that point.
And the other part of that story was, I got there and we needed an extra headset, and you said, "I'll go find you one." And you brought me a headset, and it had the little sticker with the name on the top of it. You know what it said? Snake.
I stole Stabler's headset.
It was his backup. And I was like, and I think I said, "You know what? Today I am always going to refer to myself as Stabler's backup."
That's not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing.
As you well know, growing up in Prattville, Alabama, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Totally forgotten. Those were good days. CSS,
yeah.
Which unfortunately is no more.
No more.
Big reason why you've got SEC Media Days now, and you've got the SEC Network going on
which
now.
Connelly just spoke up there a bit ago.
Vice president there. Did you drop a resume tape off?
Yeah, well, I've already done that.
That's right.
Now it was a follow-up.
Everybody has.
Everybody.
Everybody's done that. It is. Talk about from Mississippi State's perspective, though, as an athletic department, what that's going to mean. We know the football. We know what the champ, but that's the part that I think a lot of people may be missing on this.
Sure.
Is, yeah, it's great for football, but man, what it's doing for every other program in terms of exposure is going to be huge.
That's a great point. Softball coaches and volleyball coaches are jumping up and down. They're so glad.
Yeah.
I saw a schedule a little bit ago. I mean, right off the bat, starting August 14th, there's going to be live soccer, you know, for Alabama, and Mississippi State has a game early there that first week. So things like that. And what that means is, you know, for me and for Bart Gregory, who's a part of our broadcast team for football, baseball, basketball, we need to brush up on our soccer knowledge and our, volleyball or something, or softball, you know. So, and the other thing I think it means for a school like Mississippi State is, for instance, in the immediate future, Scott Strickland has a plan and renderings for the new construction on the tennis/softball facility. They're all on the same piece of property, and there's construction going on. You're going to have those new facilities. Well, there's a way to show them off now.
Absolutely.
Because those games are going to be televised on the SEC Network.
Matt Wyatt, head-to-head radio in the state of Mississippi, former Bulldog, former Prattville Lion, always Prattville Lion. We're talking about Dak Prescott before we went on air. You and I were talking over at your table here on Radio Row at the Hyatt Regency Birmingham, as it is officially known. We know it as the Winfrey here in Hoover. But Prescott's a guy who comes in. You're sharing some numbers.
Yeah.
And there are people that will tell you, well, if he is more productive this year, then Mississippi State's got to be really good. I think you contend if he is simply more healthy and on the field more, the productivity doesn't have to really exceed what it was a year ago.
That's what I think. I think the key is he healthy? Because, you know, numbers a lot of times, in my experience, are hard on the radio because it's hard to consume numbers through your ears, through those speakers. But just to kind of, you know, sum it up, Dak missed a lot of time a year ago for various reasons.
Right.
Number one, at the beginning of the year, he wasn't the starter. He didn't come into the Oklahoma State game until Tyler Russell went out with that concussion late in the second quarter, for instance. You know, so he, then Dak got hurt some. His mother passed away, so he didn't start the Texas A&M game. Tyler Russell started that game. So there was a lot of time where senior quarterback Tyler Russell was on the field. Then he also missed the games at the end of the year because of the injury that he suffered against Texas A&M. Didn't finish that game. So anyway, to make a long story short, we started figuring it up this morning. And from the games that he missed that were obvious, you know, this many quarters, and then you add this many snaps. And so essentially four games, 16 quarters of football that he wasn't on the field for those offensive snaps. He misses all that time, almost four full games. Even though he missed four full games, he accounted for 67% of the team's touchdowns and almost half of the offensive yards.
So
in the time
backup,
that he was on there.
Backup, he misses a third of the snaps.
Yep.
But has half the yards and two-thirds of the touchdowns.
Right. You know, 25 of 37 total team touchdowns are his. 25. You know, either rushing, throwing, or he caught two touchdown passes also, you know, the throwback stuff. So, anyway, the gist is he was extremely productive in the time that he was on the field. And really, regardless of what competition he was playing against, you know, you watch him against Texas A&M, he's lighting them up. Of course, a lot of people lit Texas A&M up. He plays one quarter of football in the Egg Bowl in the fourth quarter and had over 150 yards of offense and won that game with a touchdown as soon as he got on the field in a game when neither team could do anything for three quarters. So he was just really productive. So I contend that what he's simply got to do is, A, be on the field, and B, you know, don't go on a turnover rash like I did in my career, and he'll be okay.
Well, this is a position, and say that in jest, because it was a nice little career you had. There were pretty good guys on the other side defensively that created a lot of
that. Won with defense, that's for sure.
The position itself in the league, Dak Prescott is one of the higher-profile guys in the Southeastern Conference. This sounds like a shot at him. It's not intended. But initially, that's not a name. Bo Wallace, Dak Prescott are not names that resonate as they did a year ago, like Zach Mettenberger, A.J. McCarron, Aaron Murray. But I had this conversation with somebody earlier in the week, I think it was Baron Huber, that those guys, Dak Prescott doesn't have to be A.J. McCarron, Aaron Jordan, Zach Mettenberger for Mississippi State to be very, very good and maybe as productive as Dan Mullen's ever had on the offensive side.
I think that's right. You know, as we were talking earlier, they ran more plays and had more yards last year than they have at any point in time with Dan Mullen as coach. That surprised me. I saw every game, called them all on the radio. I didn't realize that they had run more plays. You know, how does that work? So the offense is kind of in, you know, they're in a comfort zone in terms of what they're doing, the calls and all that kind of thing. And so I think you add that in there with all these guys returning on offense. The skill players are returning. What you lose is an offensive lineman or two, but there is some, you know, there are snaps behind that. So the continuity from a mental standpoint on offense, you're right. They don't have to do a whole lot that's much different than they have done, because defensively, everybody's back on the defensive side of the ball. And that's what doesn't get talked about. You know, we come to media days, quarterbacks and coaches get all the attention and all the praise and all the blame and everything else. Meanwhile, Bernardrick McKinney, who was here yesterday, he's the one who's about to leave after his junior year and be a first-round pick. Chris Jones on the defensive front will be an early draftee, you know, guys like that. 19 of 22 players on the two-deep depth chart in that bowl game are back. for Jeff Collins, who they just sewed up with a big contract. So you got continuity on that side. I think it's entirely possible that they could even say, you know what we're going to do with this defense in 2014? We're going to slow down a little bit on offense. We're not going to run as many plays.
Right.
We're going to be a little more ball control. We're going to have a quarterback who's not going to turn it over. We're going to have a few more explosive plays on offense because everybody's going to get to the line of scrimmage to stop our quarterback from running the ball. That means we're going to have some one-on-ones, and we're going to throw it deep every now and then. And instead of going fast, we may slow down and say, we're going to beat you 25-17 and be just fine with it. And so it's so intriguing to me to see what Mullen is going to come up with from a philosophy standpoint this year.
On the flip side, and we're talking with Matt Wyatt, head-to-head radio in Mississippi, on the flip side of slowing down, you know, Gus Malzahn is going into a season with a second-year quarterback for the first time in his career.
Isn't that amazing?
Unbelievable. And frankly, a little, I won't say frightening, but a little unnerving maybe the way to go.
Yeah.
My question is, you've seen Nick Marshall for a year. From what you've seen, has Nick Marshall hit the ceiling of what he can do, or can he truly be kind of the Dak Prescott question? Can he really be that much more productive?
Yeah, I think he can be. What I saw from Marshall last year early, of course, we were, you know, happy to see it in the early season when State played him, and that was he was not in sync. When he would have guys open on post, he'd get that one-on-one with Coates, and there were a lot of overthrows. He was not in sync, not comfortable. And then really throughout the year, he'd bounce a lot of those. You know, he'd skip one to a guy running on a free crosser against Florida State in the national championship game. So, you know, from a throwing standpoint, there's room to improve. The thing Auburn has is they have all those guys catching the ball back.
Right.
And Coates at the head of that class, and he's a world-class athlete. I think he's going to be a high draft pick. You know, 4'3 guy who's 6'5 and jumped to like a 41 vertical or something, so they'll love him at the combine. Then they have all those guys back, and they add Diakil Williams, the number one JUCO receiver in the country. Okay, so you lose that big offensive tackle, you know, who's the top draft pick. You lose Trey Mason. But you have your quarterback back and all these receivers, and you add another one in there. And so he's another one. What is Malzahn going to come up with? But the other side of that is, Chris, here's what I think. So he's had all this success and he has yet to have a guy back for a second year. He's a first-year quarterback. So you know what it tells me? It's not the quarterback a lot of times.
Yeah,
it's the system, and it's the guy calling the plays.
He's really good.
Yeah.
I think better than most of us in Tuscaloosa anticipated, that's for sure.
You don't have to answer it, but you can if you want to. If I were to ask you, tell me which SEC teams Nick Marshall could be, you could pluck him away from Auburn and right now put him on that team under center, and he would be just as effective and just as good and under on that team and under that coach as he is at Auburn, Malzahn in that system.
There's not a one. I mean, I think he could probably, I think Mullen, could find
Freeze,
a way,
you know, in that system a little bit. But
Freeze probably could. Spurrier would kill him. Spurrier would kill him, or Spurrier's head would explode.
Yeah. Did you like Spurrier yesterday?
He beautiful,
was good. Wasn't it?
And we're bouncing around. It's easy to do when you're talking to Fred.
Sure.
We just happen to be on radio. Spurrier made the comment that some people take as a slam. I think it's him just being that Nick Saban's the greatest recruiter in the history of college football, as if that's a negative thing. Is there a better master at playing the media in the history of college football than Steve Spurrier?
Nope. And everybody here is going, please don't retire anytime soon. Please don't retire because, honestly, that kind of thing from Spurrier each year makes it worth coming for the most part.
I got to get you one more quarterback question before I let you run. Jake Coker is expected to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He almost beats Jameis Winston out last year for the starting nod. Now we understand why he was the backup.
Mm-hmm.
Comes to Alabama, hadn't taken a snap. He is already on the Maxwell Award watch list. He ain't even earned the starting job yet.
Right.
as the old quarterback now, try to put yourself in that spot. What is he walking into?
It all depends on chemistry. The ability's there. look, that football team, you know, and if I were a quarterback, I mean, you talk about on Christmas morning and I had Jones and, you know, and nine, remind me, out there.
Amari Cooper.
Cooper, how can I forget that name?
No,
Yeldon and all these guys and O.J. Howard, Prattville. You know,
that's
if
right.
I'm walking into that, holy cow, I just can't wait to tear into the wrapping paper, so to speak. And here's the thing. Coker's a phenomenal athlete. David Morris, who played quarterback at Ole Miss
sure.
in the late 90s, and now has QB country and does camps. You know, he's familiar with Jacob very much. Sings his praises, man. And so, chemistry. So, what makes up chemistry? It's Coker and his mental makeup, how comfortable he is walking into that, how confident he is, and how he interacts with those teammates and when and how they accept him. Because if that meshes, then look out. With that schedule, I picked Alabama to win the West. I think they'll play Georgia in the SEC championship game. Because I'm looking at Alabama's schedule. Where is there an uh-oh game on the schedule for Alabama? You know, what's the toughest one? I could make an argument the toughest road trip is not to LSU this year. It's to Ole Miss.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, things like that.
I agree.
You know,
it's not tough to get your kids up to play LSU if you're Alabama.
That's true.
It's going to be difficult.
That's a great
perhaps
point.
For Ole Miss, and that's the part, are they disciplined enough to get
and
that done?
And the good news for Alabama, it's after an open day.
Yeah.
They're at home for 2 weeks getting ready for Ole Miss before they make that trip. Now, Ole Miss has elite talent on both sides of the ball, but so does Alabama, and Alabama has more of it. So I think it's going to be work just fine. And, you know, Coker, he's not going into a system where they're going to put it on him and make him throw it 40 times a game. And, hey, it's your game to win or lose. Hey, here's Coker's responsibility. Don't throw picks.
Right.
Make sure you call the right running play. Check at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
And get out of the way.
Don't screw it up.
And don't screw it. And when we do get one-on-one with Cooper and the safety comes up, just put enough air under it. That's how I'd coach it.
Don't put it on the deck and throw it to the right color jersey.
And have fun.
Fine.
And have fun.
They
exactly.
should. Always fun to talk to you. Matt Wyatt,
you
thanks
too,
so much, brother. Appreciate
yeah,
it.
My pleasure.
Matt Wyatt.